This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Just wanted to take a brief moment to give you guys a little idea how we do it here at Paddle and Fin Podcast. We use the anchor.fm recording platform. Super easy, distributes our podcast to many, many different platforms. There's creation tools to allow you to record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. Check out anchor.fm or download the free Anchor app to get started.
This segment is brought to you by Jigmaster Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Use promo code PNF20 to save 20% off your jig order.
This is the Chasing the Tide Saltwater segment on the Paddle and Fin Network. I'm your host, Dustin Nichols. Come along for the Saltwater Shenanigans.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dustin Nichols with Chasing the Tide Saltwater segment here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. Tonight, we've got a special guest. We got my tournament partner that I fish the saltwater events with. Michael Fiorenza in the house tonight. What's up, man? What's going on, brother?
How goes it?
It's going. It's going. Been, getting done, finished up with the holidays and winding up, starting this new year out. And then it's just seeing all these damn tournament schedules popping up. And it's about to be a busy year. That's all I'm going to say. We're going to get into that a little later. But first off, you know, as with any guest, we start the show off with, what got you into fishing, and how long you've been doing that right now.
So I didn't fish much growing up as a kid because I was always involved in other stuff. And there wasn't a lot of people that I knew that fished. I got involved when my oldest son started in Cub Scouts and said, I want to go fishing. And we started fishing at local ponds here in the Woodlands, fishing for bass. And then you start developing that and you say, hey, I got to get off the bank. So,
yeah. Well, kayak, rewind. Hey, this guy grew up in New Jersey. so that's probably why he didn't start. No, I don't know. I can at least from there. So, I just cut in on you real quick. But yeah, once you moved over to Texas and stuff, y'all, you jumped on in, huh?
Correct. And once you get off the bank, the easiest, cheapest way to do it is a kayak. And it has kind of exploded from there. So it started with bass. I started largemouth bass. And that turned into, I went out on a trip, I went out on a charity tournament on a boat and hooked my first redfish and said, these things pull a lot harder than bass. So we're going to go chase these things.
Roots. Yeah. And that's where you and I met. We met at a Association of Builders and Contractors tournament in Port O'Connor, 3 years ago.
Yeah. Correct.
We met at a tournament, chasing some fish. Yeah, man. So once you jumped in the kayak, it was all over. It's all over but a crying, man. It's like the ease of access. You know, I probably sound like a broken record every episode. Oh, it's just the ease of access. But for real, that's what's great about kayaking, kayak fishing in general, is that you can just load up in the back of the truck and go dump off the side of the road somewhere and just jump in. Nothing else like it. And then that close to the action, being that close and seeing that, you know, that's what we're going to get in with you about this shallow water redfish stuff, man. So we're going to jump on into that. So we'll get into your favorite species to target. So go ahead and jump on in there.
Love redfish. Absolutely love redfish. I enjoy shallow redfish. I'll fish over the reef. I'll fish deep. But I like being way back in the skinny water, sneaking up on them and basically dropping a lure on their head. That's what I really enjoy.
Sight casting, you know, seeing the wakes pushing, seeing them blowing up, seeing the shrimp scattering, or actually the water's clear enough, you're seeing the fish and actually putting it in her face. So, you know, like this time of year, you know, the tips and tactics, you know, in general for redfish, you know, what are some that you might, you know, pass along to somebody that might just be starting out?
This is what you need. You need a logbook. Okay. Every time I go out, I take notes. I take notes on the day, weather conditions, where they were, what was going on. And over time, over the last couple of years, I've built up a bunch of notes. I go through a new notebook every year and I kind of transfer down and consolidate it. They're going to be deeper and they're going to be slow right now as the fronts come through. Here in Texas, it's 40 degrees today. It'll be 70 degrees tomorrow. Then it'll be 30 degrees the next day and 80 degrees 2 days later.
Flop so, back and forth real quick.
These fish go deep, shallow, or they just stay in a pool and just lay on the bottom.
They just get stuck.
That's right. They do.
That's what say we get a big frontal passage. You got strong anything with the north and west in it. West winds blow the water out. You really can't get a high tide back in there. You know, the fish get stuck in little ponds in the marsh, little pools in the marsh, and can't get out. And they're back there just thrashing the bait. I think you had something like that happen last weekend. It's not for the faint of heart going and trudging through the waist deep mud and dragging a kayak, you know, 50 to 75 yards to get back in a foot deep pool that's only about 200 yards, you know, long and wide. But there's redfish like crazy in there. So the reward is well worth it.
they stack up in those little, you've seen it. They get into this, it's basically fishing in a swimming pool. You've got it, the water source in and out is cut off, so it's just bait and redfish in this shallow water. I did last weekend, I got stuck in the mud. I had to drag about 25, 30 yards in, and then I was chasing a school and misjudged my time and tide and got back out to the channel and went, oh no, there's no water. And it was quite a long drag back out.
Yeah, and then like here in Texas, even though we don't deal with tidal changes like they do on the East Coast, on the Atlantic side of Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, you know, 5 to 7 foot tide change over there, we only get like a 1 or 2 foot tide change normally. But in the winter, like I said, those strong fronts come through and they push that water out of the bay systems. That's what you call, say, if you had a little higher tide running before that. Before that front came in, those southeast winds push your tide back up to normal levels and you get that super strong push. That water, if you can catch it when it's still coming out of the marsh drains, you know, it's the bait fish is getting flushed out with it and those redfish are just going to stack up. That's absolutely what some people around here like to call the dump.
Yes. Yeah. need a good strong wind for the dump.
Yeah. Yes. Like this morning. Like that front last night we had, it blew northwest today, you know, 30 plus. We're supposed to have a tournament today and it got canceled, a bass tournament. You can fish tomorrow. And then there was also a trout tournament, speckled trout tournament that was supposed to go on today. It got postponed or canceled. Same difference. So it's like, man, it's crazy with all these tournaments. Sometimes, you know, you got to look out for everybody, you know, look out for the anglers and look out for everybody's safety and all that. So, we're going to get into, you know, what were you thinking when you found out that, man, a can't get back across that channel. How deep was the mud at the time?
So when I was dragging in, I was all the way to my crotch. Yeah. And if you've ever gotten into a situation like that, you never let go of the kayak because you need something. I mean, the mud down here, there's no bottom to the mud down here. You just keep sinking. So you kind of slide the kayak through and jump up and crawl out of the mud and then slide the kayak again. And getting in wasn't, you know, I saw it. I expected it. I said, okay, I can get there. That's not that bad. I'm going to get a little bit dirty. When I came back out, you get that moment of panic. Where you're like, oh no, what have I done? You know? So it's okay, do I go back in and try to find another way out? Do I just drag across here? Do I, you know, and you got to start working that. I know two guys with airboats, one of them, Brandon, from Caden Lures, and another guy that I met down in that area that has an airboat down there. And I said, oh, I'm seriously considering calling in some reinforcement because this is 350 yards worth of mud in order to hit any kind of floatable water. So, but
other than that, though, talk about some of the catches you had in there.
Oh, so you get all these fish. Stupid, huh? That you saw in a video. I got the video posted. I was sight casting bull redfish for 45 minutes. I mean, it was just one after another after another.
That's 30-inch plus redfish, people. You're listening in. A bull is, I consider it 30 inches or
30 inches. The smallest one I got, I posted, and it was 29 and a half inches. Everything was from 29 to 32, and they were just stacked up back there. Yeah. There is a channel way back in that marsh, and I gotta stress that for wintertime fishing. There's a deep channel. So you've got the flats with reef, and the reef's exposed with the water really low, but there's a deep channel. And if you can get back into that deep channel, they stack up down there and get on the bottom. In all honesty, to tell you the truth, the best thing, we throw a lot of paddle tails, throw a lot of crankbait, throw a lot of, you know, a deep diving crankbait. But I've been playing around in those channels with the with these, I don't know if you can see it, the Grande Bass airtail rattlers.
The airtail. Looked like a sand eel.
on a shaky head.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And just send that quarter-inch shaky head down at a bottom and slow drag, and they absolutely hammer it.
I think it's a sand eel.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I've caught them on a Ned rig. I've caught trout on a Ned rig.
That's right, Ned rigs. Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy how you can transition some of them baits from Freshwater and the salt water, especially in the summer when the tides are running higher and you're getting some grass build up and all that. I'm throwing popping frog, a white ribbit buzz toad, or like a booyah popping pad crasher, and like all white and silver, and them redfish suck it up. I've caught trout on them too. Texas rigging
cross and creature
crawfish. Yeah, I've caught them like that. Throw them into the sand pockets.
Yep.
Done that too, but yeah, this time of year you definitely slowing your presentation down after those fronts until you have some warmer days afterwards, and then it has a chance to heat up that shell and that darker mud, push that water temp up and help activate those fish to feed. And I also this time of year I know for salooner periods it does play a key role in for those feeding periods. Those fish could be, you know, just lethargic and waiting. And then that sun comes out for 3-4 hours in the morning, and then that moonrise or that moon's overhead or underfoot in the middle of the day.
It's like somebody flipped a switch.
They're going to turn on. It's going to flip a switch on them, flip that script, man. It's going to get them going. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to see that happen too, when you can be on the water and do that. You know, that's the same thing goes for, you know, this time of year. If I can get on the water, excuse me here. If I can get on the water in the late evening, the last 2 hours of daylight, and if there happens to be a lunar period in that last 2 to 3 hours of daylight into when it starts getting dark, because that's your warmest part of the day. That sun's been shining all day. That water's warmed up. That shallow water might be a little, 2 to 3 degrees warmer. Man, that's where them single mature trout will be coming up there, stalking, looking for mullet up there. And that's a prime time for this year. This time of the year is to, you know, a lot of people, you know, feel that water and be like, oh, it's too cold. Nah, it ain't too cold. Get on up there. That water's in, that water's in the upper 50s. Them fish are going to be shallow in the evenings.
Man, when we were when we went out and you were jacking big trout right in front of me, I pull out a little tiny trout, you're pulling out 26 inches. And I'm going, really? I'm...
Oh, we were in a redfish tournament, and I think I caught six trout over 24 inches, like pretty much on like back-to-back cast, like every other cast. It's like, holy crap. And then I called it, too. I was like, hey, watch this. I said, if they're here, it's going to be like this. And I twitch, boom. Like, oh, what happened? And then I said, hey, watch this. I said, if they're here, there's going to be another one. And then like, boom. I just jacked it. Like, boom, 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 boom.
I'm pulling out like 14, 15-inch trout. He's pulling 24, 26-inch trout out of the same hole right next to me. Well, like,
we were in an online tournament, and I'd already, you could have, a couple of those would have put you in the money, man, because I had already had my biggest for the year. That tournament, I was like, all right, I got mine. I'm just like, shoo, man, that was fun. Even though we were looking for redfish, you know, we found a couple that day. Last minute heroics in a bayou.
Yeah.
Still got bumped out the money, but it's all good. That's what it is. That's what tournament fishing is about sometimes, you know. Live and you learn. Just like we're talking about trout right there a little bit, but, you know, any tips out there, tips you want to throw out for anybody that say wants to transition, from fresh water to salt water, somebody that's never been in the salt water before, you know,
safety. There's things in salt water that'll eat you. You know, there's things in fresh water that'll eat you too, but there's a lot more things with teeth than salt water. And always have a float plan. Always let somebody know where you're going so that you get out there exploring new areas and chasing fish. Always have a float plan. I'm a big proponent of PFDs all the time, obviously. But gear wise, don't overthink it. If you've got quality bass gear, it'll work just fine for everything you're going to target out there inshore. You know, braid, bait caster, bass rods, they all work fine. You can throw bass tackle. We were just talking about throwing shaky head worms and crankbaits and frogs and creature baits.
Chatter baits.
Yeah, absolutely. Wake baits, top waters.
Buzz baits.
That's right.
I've caught redfish and trout on buzz baits.
That's right. So I mean, it's
nothing wrong with dabbling in that.
Absolutely, and really, it's about getting out there and figuring it out. You know, fishing for bass. You know, we go out and fish for bass, and you're finding them deep, and you're finding structure, and you're working current, and you're working bait. No difference with the redfish. They're basically a big orange and gold bass with a spot on its tail.
Yes, bass, spot-tailed bass. Well, that's the thing. You know, sometimes you might not have all that much tidal movement, but that's when you pay attention to your wind current breaks, wind-blown shorelines, wind, you know, flowing into a little mouth of a creek that has shell, and it's getting pushed around that shell, and there's an ambush point. Them redfish are just like trout, and then just like bass or any other predatory fish that are opportunistic feeders, they're going to be sitting right there in that ambush spot, wait to pounce on something that comes by.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's all, you know, it all plays into the same concept of it. You know, so transitioning back and forth in bad. I just say, if anybody, you know, likes to bass fish a lot and you are close enough to get to the salt, you know, 2-3 hours away, come on, I'm open. I just took a couple guys out a couple weeks back, you know, they fish the same little club, Southeast Texas Kite Bass League. They fish the same tournament trail, and they live up around Waco. That's about 3.5 hours from me, and they came down, and man, we put a smackdown on trout, you know, 17 to 20 inch, just keeper size trout. Man, I cleaned them up and sent them on their way. Sent them home with limits, bud. It was like, sweet.
They wanted
some food to eat. They wanted some trout to take home. And we said, all right, we could do that. I don't want to keep anything, you know, bigger than 2021. Normally, I like to let the bigger ones go, let them grow, let them get trophy status. Yep. So, you know, got them some fillets and sent them home. Had a good time. You know, once they got that bite down, it was a little deeper bite that day. You know, that's the same thing, you know, just it's like fishing a Texas rig on the bottom. It's just an open jig head with a little paddle tail. So same thing.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And now they're hooked. They'll come back.
Yeah, they'll probably be, they'll be back, you know, you know, it's going to be good. So, you know, being that we enjoy the saltwater thing a lot too, you know, I do fish bass tournaments. It's going to be busy mm-hmm. this year. There's a lot of opportunities out there. As we're recording this today on, you know, this will come out the following Wednesday. This is January the 11th. I have a tournament tomorrow. It was got postponed till tomorrow. So we'll be fishing a bass tournament tomorrow. But, you know, we fished quite a few tournaments last year. You know, as a team, we got in a few, the year before, same, you know, hopefully this year we're going to get in a few more without all this other stuff getting in the way. But as we were just reading over some of the schedule, and we're going to kind of touch on this. This is in Texas. I said, this is like crazy. I'm not even going to talk about all the local bass trails that we can fish.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
East Texas kayak fishing, Southeast Texas kayak fishing, North Texas kayak fishing, Dallas-Fort Worth kayak anglers, Central Texas kayak fishing. I mean, I could name a few more than that. Like, there's another two or three that I know I forgot. It's like, whoa, what you want to do? You want to fish tournament every day of the weekend and get divorced?
You could. Yeah, absolutely. You can here.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. That's what, oh, man. Because yeah. I know I'm about to be busy, and I know my wife's not too happy about that. She's got a new ride. She good.
Sorry about that.
She gets to go on a girls trip, you know, that's good too. But you know, you gotta give and take, you know.
Absolutely.
Go on a family trip to Tennessee or to Branson or something, New Orleans or whatever, you know, have fun. You know, do that too. So yeah. So with that, you know, last year we fished a couple of events. We were talking about one of them. We were fishing I got in the trout really good during the redfish tournament. When we had one that we, one of the Rudy's kayak attack series, the Redfish Trail, we had about a 2-hour delay with thunderstorms on top of us with about 30-mile-an-hour winds blowing the other way.
That's the tournament that it just is burned into the memory.
Yeah, because
that one's burned in here.
You broke two fish off that morning. And I know I broke one off that was 27 inches easy or 20, almost probably 8 or 9 pound redfish. I broke off a good one that morning on shell. And then it was just one of the, we were on the fish and then it just didn't happen. We had fish to turn in, but we just didn't have the right ones.
Correct.
You know, I did catch a enter all the side pots. I got spot pot in that one with five spots, which was pretty dang low.
Yep.
Steal once a money, which is crazy. You actually had one that had five spots too, so we both had a five spot redfish. Actually,
mine was a half inch shorter than yours.
Yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, we did. That was yeah. We got stuck. We had to like beach the kayaks and go hang out. And
that's right. The storm came in. I was sitting in a channel and I was staked out and I was fishing a drop off to a deep channel, and I knew where you were. You were farther away, around one at the other side of the island, and the wind was blowing from my back, and it just stopped. And then all of a sudden, it started hitting me in the face, and I'm like, "Oh, this isn't gonna be good."
Look around. And there's that black.
Look around, and there's that black line.
It's like a wall cloud coming right at us. It's like, oh yeah. And then I heard a couple of lightning bolts and some thunder, and I was like, "Okay, I had just caught a fish too." Like I heard it, and I paused, and he hit it when it was just sitting there, and I was like, "Oh." I was throwing top water all, you know, if it's that time of year, I'm throwing top water every dang minute. But yeah, so that's one of them ones, you know, where it's like, you know, it could have been a little better, you know.
So, you know, I tell you, it could have been better. But one thing you learn from doing this is you don't give up. You don't quit.
No.
You don't
you go
grind till the last minute.
Because that's what happened with you. You kept grinding to the last minute.
Yep. We were in the last stretch, right? Last 120 yards before the before the launch, ramp. Right? Yeah. And two slot redfish.
24s. 224s back, like two casts back to back.
Yep. Yeah. So you grind all the way to the end.
So he ended up finishing in the top 10. I think I was 14th. Mm-hmm. There was 80-something anglers, which is a good – I'm okay with that. I won a spot pot, won a little money. You won some prizes. You know, it was good. That's about what we did. Last year as a team, we got seventh also.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to that one again. That's Ray Del Mar. That event's put on by Fin Factory and ACK. Austin Canoe and Kayak, and through CATS, Kayak Anglers Tournament Series. And that one is, I'm going to get into that, but that one's this year. The Friday captain's meeting will be on July 31st, mm-hmm. and then the 8-1 and August 1st and 2nd will be the event. It's a back-to-back. You can fish either just the redfish event, or you can fish an offshore event, and that's what they call it, the King of the Sea,
mm-hmm.
King of the Salt. Because it's you know, you can fish redfish one day and fish for a kingfish the next, and there's like a ling side pot, a snapper side pot, or whatever, jack, trash fish side pot. But yeah, you can fish either or. So depending on the weather, they run it. You know, this last year they ran the offshore on Saturday and the redfish on Sunday, and it was beautiful. I'm smacking myself in the head for not fishing the offshore division of that one. So
I think we're gonna get a chance this year.
Yeah, I hope so. And then getting into that, you know, you know, the IFA, they're coming back to Texas mm-hmm. this year. At first, I saw Port Lavaca on the schedule with a TBA, and I was stoked. That's my home waters. And I'm not seeing that now. I'm seeing a Port Aransas event on March 31st and a Corpus event on August 11th, which still, that's a cool event because I like that tournament because it's one red, one trout, kind of evens it out, you know. And then back to the redfish trails. There's Lone Star Kayak Series. Mm-hmm.
Waiting on Michael McMullen to post some dates.
I haven't seen the schedule to that yet. And what you got? What have you seen? Rudy's. What do you see on Rudy's?
So Rudy's Pro Series this year, three stops.
Yeah.
April 18th, 19th in Galveston, May 23rd, 24th in Aransas Pass, and June 6th and 7th in Matagorda.
Yeah. And that's open boundaries on those, too. So you fish any Texas waters as long as you can make it to that dang weigh-in. And he usually has his weigh-ins open till 6 p.m. most of the time.
I like the late weigh-ins.
Yeah, I do too. I push it.
And this year he's got that trout tourney too.
There's a trout tournament. One of them was supposed to run today, which he got canceled. And then what we got, January 25th, there's the one in Matagorda Harbor. And then what, February 15th is the Corpus event.
Corpus.
Which January 25th, I can't do. That's my daughter's birthday party. Her birthday's the next day, but I'm on nights anyways. And I'll be that Tuesday. I leave to go to Seminole for the Hobie BOS, the 27th. Nah. I'll be leaving. Yeah. Or the 28th. Now, February 15th, the Corpus event is looking pretty good. I think that's Fairfield for Southeast Texas Kayak Bass League. Nope, the 8th is Fairfield. The 25th, the 15th, the Corpus could be good. But I don't know if I can do tournaments three weekends in a row.
Oh, yeah.
that's one of them things. So I believe I'm going to fish that Fairfield event, not the trout tournament. Much as I want to fish that trout tournament because I want to go down there and go head-to-head with old Chris Castro.
he is always on trout.
He's on some good trout too. Me and him, you know, he was my first guest for my first ever segment. You know, so I've been meaning to get down in there and get with him. Hopefully next week when I'm on my long change, I'm gonna try to make it down there and fish with him one day. So you know, that's gonna be fun. You know, Jeff Austin runs those Rudy's trails. He runs the Pro Series. He runs the boat side too. You know, and he started out five years ago or so with the Gulf Coast kayak series. Yeah. Gulf Coast Tournament Association. Got Rudy's on board sponsoring it. They feed us, they take care of us. Payouts are always plus, and then, you know, it's good to go. And then also last year we didn't get a chance to fish any of them, but Saltwater Angler Magazine, whom we both, submit content to do some articles for them, both of us. And they started a Redfish series last year, and we didn't get to do any of them, but some of our friends ended up, you know, fishing pretty well, team of the year and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they got some dates this year. What you got on that? I see.
I don't have. All I've got is their boat series on their dates, and they're running from April all the way to October.
Yeah, they're supposed to have a 2-day pro series for boats, but I think the kayak series is supposed to be 1-day events, and I haven't seen any dates on that yet. So I believe we'll be looking out for info on that. Maybe if I get a little info, I'll pass that along on the next few podcasts I'll put out. So yeah, I know I'm looking forward to fishing a couple those Rudy's events with you, the team events, and hopefully some of those saltwater angler series.
Absolutely.
And then there's also another series, Saltwater Survival Series. It started out as an event that they would give everybody the same box of lures. Everybody would get the same box of egret baits, and everybody would have to fish with the same thing, and that's all you could fish with, which was cool. I had a couple results in that. You know, it's pretty cool to fish those that way. But as of last year, they canceled the having everybody to have their same lures, and they started. It's open bait, no live bait, but all artificial only. You can use whatever artificials you want. That one kicks off on April the 11th, and it's the Redfish tournament. They do have, they're known to have multiple side pots. You know, a flounder pot, a trout pot, spot pot, biggest red. You know, all that good stuff. So the Redfish is a what is it? Is it a three red stringer?
Is it three red?
Yeah, I want to say it's three. I want to say it's three on that one. I could be wrong.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I can't remember either. Yeah, and then there's a slam side pot too. One red, one trout, one flounder.
Correct.
And then June 27th is the trout event.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your best four trout.
Yeah, and then you've got two in the flounder.
Stream. Yeah, and then the flounder. Yeah, November 14th.
You're in a restricted time period, so it's only two.
To November the 14th, you got a flounder event. So there's two flounder stringer. And then they'll have, you know, they'll have a slam pot. They'll have a trout pot and a redfish pot. This and that. Yeah, that's a tournament stacking up, man.
It's going to be a busy year.
And that, ain't even all the.
I know that you got to add in even some of the online stuff. I mean, you're going to be doing some KBF stuff. You're going to be doing some bass stuff. The KBF Redfish online. I mean, it's all over. San Antonio, Eugene's Trail.
Oh yeah, so San Antonio kayak fishing. They'll have two. Let me throw them dates out there while I'm looking. I know he just posted them. So,
two salt, two fresh.
Yeah, two salt, two fresh, and the official dates are here. We go. We're overlapping.
Yep.
Because the Rudy's Trout's February 15th. This one is Lake Fayette on February the 15th. Then he's got a March 28th on Lake Corpus Christi, which I will be in Gunnersville for the KBFNC. Then there's 5/16 on Lake Corpus Christi, not 5/16 is a saltwater event in Corpus Christi, sponsored by Roy's. So, I'll most likely be at that one.
Yeah, out there then too.
Then 7/11. And Rockport.
Yep.
For another split that saltwater event. I'm sure it'll be two trout and one redfish. I think he's trying to change it up a little bit.
I like that. I like because every that you know.
I get burnt out on just catching.
Yeah. Yeah, well you get I think it tests you as an angler a little bit more
to have to
catch multiple species.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely evens the playing field big time. It does. You know, and that's what I like about that one. So that one will be cool. I know then there's Texas Kayak Fishing. San Antonio will have an event, a couple of events. And then Kayak Fishing Texas is another group that will have, they got a pretty good schedule coming up too. I know they got a couple events with a couple freshwater events and a couple saltwater events too. So they, I know they got an event on Coleto, which is my home lake. So that's pretty cool. So there's, that's two tournaments on Coleto this year for me. Mm-hmm. There's one on Southeast Texas Kayak Bass League, which is open for motors. So I'm burning up some water and heading pretty far north on that one. Most likely. I found some road beds the last time I fished it that I didn't even know were there. I found some old road beds. So I'm pretty stoked on those in the spring and summer months.
Excellent.
See what happens. So yeah, man, it looks like it's gonna be pretty dang.
It's a busy year.
Busy year.
It's a busy year this year.
You know.
You know, this sport is not getting any smaller.
No.
Everybody's, but all the big names are buying into the kayak side of stuff as well. I mean, we're all over it. 4 years ago, you barely saw anybody out. There was a handful of people here, a handful of people, and now you can't go anywhere without seeing a kayak.
Yeah. I see them all the time. Yeah. Well, you can't miss me, so it's like, man, I'm going to have to go incognito or something. If I take my wife's truck with the, my wife's SUV with the trailer, at least I can hide, you know, won't be able to see me where I'm fishing.
One of those tournaments where we fished, you had parked the truck, we had parked next to each other, and Alex sends me a message and goes, where the heck are you guys? I just got a call that Dustin's truck is over there. They're looking for it now.
Dustin's truck's over there. Hey, you might can find my truck, but you got to know how to catch the fish.
There you go. There you go.
Which, yeah, you know, we do compete with a lot of top-notch anglers. I'll give it that. You know, there's so many great anglers here, saltwater side to freshwater side in Texas. You know, we got some sticks in this state, man, and it's got a good group, man. It's you know, being able to fish with you, being able to fish with, you know, Tracy Debman, Eugene Mora, Eric Porter. I'm just throwing out names. Jeff Isham, freaking man, who's them other Hobie guys? Jason Delfraise, Eric DeLuise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, there's some hammers, dude. Mark Pendergraft. I know. I think he's going to Seminole too. There's a group of us going to Seminole. Jason Willis and Jeff Isham. I'm gonna bunk up with them at Seminole. I got a place to stay with them. We're staying at this little lodge there. It's gonna be pretty cool. Roll up there, get some pre-fishing in. Hopefully be pitching to some grass and throwing a little chatterbait, a little power fishing. Hopefully
find that hydrilla.
Find that hydrilla, as my daughter would say. Hopefully I'll find some of that, because if I do, I'm in my element, man. That's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, even though this is a saltwater podcast, we get off on the bass side a little bit every now and then, you know, because it's still fun. That's in my blood. That's what I started out doing when I was a kid, you know, was catching them farm pond bass, man. It stuck with me, you know, and it kind of came back once I got back in the kayak, you know, and found out, oh, there's all kind of tournaments I could fish. And then it's just like, man, you really could do a tournament every weekend if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Looking at this list of dates here and then looking at the list of the Huck Bass Nation Kayak Series, the Hobie Bass Open Series, the KBF Pro Tour, then the KBF Trail Series. Looking at all of that on top of all the other local trails that I want to fish. I'm really, really staying cut and dry to the Southeast Texas Trail like I did last year, even though I missed some events and didn't make the championship last year. I was qualified and I was in the top 10 going into the final. So that's what I'm hoping for this year. If I can match that and get a couple good results, you know, got an event on my home lake, got an event on Bastrop where I won an event there last year. Let's hope I can enroll into this year on the bass side of things on a good note, you know, and then hopefully we'll kick it off good with these good redfish. You know, we fished some new water last year. We explored some new spots over around me that I hadn't been in a while, and found some damn good fish too. So it's just a matter of having the right conditions to get in there. And we're going to be on some fish, man. We're going to be on some fish this year for sure. We're going to sneak back in some areas that are hard to get to with a boat. So I'm excited for some of these redfish trails. We're gonna see how it's gonna pan out, and see how this year is gonna work out, man. I think it's gonna be pretty cool. So you know, I know I've enjoyed fishing with you last year, and in these tournaments. I'm gonna have to get out there a little more this year pre-fishing, you know.
Absolutely.
I know that one tournament you came up, we fished, what, 3 days in a row?
I slept on your couch.
Yeah, you slept on my couch for a couple of nights. And I think his wife We fished 3 days, like three hard days and then the tournament day. I mean, it was – we fished all day long, all 3 days. It was pretty cool. We definitely found some water. We definitely covered some water.
Yeah,
that's pretty
true.
Cool.
That's but, true. That was a good time.
Know, yeah, it's a good time, man. So – you know, looking at probably trying to wrap this up, man. You know, I'm trying to go over my last minute preparations for tomorrow.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
I'm going
to
the marsh tomorrow, so I still got to load up and get ready to rock.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. You're going to get and go, man. Go out there and chase some more.
Yeah.
So, you know, in closing up, you know, any last minute things, you know, I like to say, as far as the, you know, new people hitting the water, you know, if it's your first time out there and you're not familiar with the area, hit buddy system.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You go to somebody else that's been there or knows the area, because in the marsh, it is very easy to get lost and get turned around back there.
Mm-hmm.
Very
and
easy.
A lot of marshes, you don't have cell phone service either.
No, you don't have no Google Maps, no nothing. So if you don't have a fish finder with like I got that little small one I'll carry with C-Maps on it and Navionics. If I don't have that, you know, sometimes you can get turned around if you're not familiar with the area, or you get back somewhere and all the water's gone and you got to drag back out.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's different making that choice to go back in and then realizing that you screwed up and said, okay, I'm going to suck it up and make it happen. In fact, I was sending messages you know, I laugh and I make fun, but I always blame Jared Easley, because one of the first kayak trips I went out on was with him, and he told me, listen, this is high adventure kayaking back here. So I'm not afraid to get dirty. You know, you don't get afraid to get dirty anymore. And you make those decisions. But if you're new, man, common sense, know the area, don't put yourself in a dangerous situation, buddy system, have some communication. Even today they sent out down in Corpus at the JFK Causeway, four kayakers got thrown out of the water, thrown out of their kayaks in 40 mile per hour winds. Man,
that's going out 40 miles an hour. Only reason I'm going out 40 mile an hour winds is if I'm in like a protected harbor and I'm
not out in the open causeway. No.
And remember, getting hammered over there.
The rescuers got to go out there in that same environment to go get you. So it's a little bit of common sense, a little bit of humility, be humble about it, and don't put yourself in a situation that you could really get yourself hurt or killed.
Ooh, I know. Right on, man. That's some great tips right there for sure. A bug out bag goes a long way. You know, a towel, a dry set of clothes, matches, a flare. In a dry bag and packed in a dry bag.
Yeah, Tracy actually made a really good post about that a couple days ago. He explained his overnight bag. Should he get pinned in someplace overnight, he's got a bag and he laid out all the contents.
That's
fantastic.
Tracy Debbin, he's one of our Hobie Kayak team members here in Texas. He travels around. He goes over to Florida for the Stream Kayak Series and all that. And, you know, well, thinking about that, in June there's that goat tournament in the Bear. I think I want to go do that. They said there's a spot in the house. I'd like to go do that one, but I don't know, man. I'm already burning up some miles this year, so it's gonna be tough. Especially when I'm planning to go to La Crosse, Wisconsin in August again. So
So
that Thai food's getting to me right now. I had some waterfall salad and some stuff for dinner, bun bowl and some other stuff.
Nice.
It's like need some water. All right, dude. Hey man, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Before we wrap up here, you want to give a shout out to any sponsors or anybody in particular?
Well, obviously Paddle and Fin.
Thank you.
They're rocking and rolling. Your side, the Chasing the Side, as well as their Bass side. Fantastic podcasts. People that support me, Revan Optics, Bison Coolers, Kaden Lures, Fish Hide Sportswear, Salted Dog Hat Company, Texas Rattler, and Anglers Anonymous. So I appreciate all of them. They make life easy for me, and open up some doors to get to enjoy some of this stuff.
Yeah, and social media, any plugs? Where can everybody find you on there?
Instagram, you're real easy. Mad Fiorenzo. We're not actually, I'm not angry. It's anagram for me, my wife, and my kids. But it's Mad Fiorenzo on Instagram. You can find me there.
Yep, find him on there. Mm-hmm. He's posting some good content, post some good catches, and some good, you know, cast to catch on sight casting redfish, some good pictures, a little fly fish action every now and then. Good to go. Hey, everybody out there, Jackson Kayak, y'all listening, this boy needs a kayak sponsor. Come on. We're going to try to hook him up. Got to put him in the cracking for you. Y'all got to keep making the cracking. So.
I love paddling, but I tell you what, with this bass stuff going on and some other stuff and heading out deeper water, you know, blue water stuff too, offshore stuff, paddle kayak's going to be in the cards very soon.
Yeah, I got one. I got one, and I got a full show on mine for the bass tournament. So if I can use it in the KBF or the bass series, I will use it. Unfortunately, at the Hobie Bass Open on Seminole, I will not be able to use
my motor. Be able to use it, no.
Yeah, I'll be paddling through a bunch of hydrilla probably.
All swamped up.
Yeah, so, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on tonight. You know, once again, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to all our show sponsors out there. I know it'll be in the intro and outro. I wish I had a list to thank everybody. I might need to start doing that. Thanks to my sponsors. Thanks for supporting me, my time on the water. And, man, I appreciate you coming on. And we'll wrap it up. Thanks for everybody tuning in to Chasing the Tide Saltwater segment on Paddle and Fin. I thank y'all for tuning in. Later.
Go check out the website, guys. Paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Also, check out YouTube. youtube.com/paddleandfin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin at gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. We're doing giveaways, announcements, things like that at Facebook and Instagram at paddle and fin. Shout out to our show supporters, Rocktown Adventures, Loveland Canoe and Kayak, Hammered Lures, Fish Mob Lures, TRC Covers, Catch Products. Go to catchproducts.com. You could put the Paddle and Fin logo right on your catchboard. Don't forget to go over and pick up your Jig Masters jigs. Use promo code PNF20 and save 20% today. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to. It helps grow the audience, helps others find our podcast. So please drop a 5-star rating in on the podcast platform you're listening on. Don't forget about the recycled plastics program, you guys. Take your used plastic baits, put them in an envelope, mail them to the address in the show notes. Our man Eric Richards at Hammered Lures melts those down, makes new baits, and donates them to various chapters of Heroes on the Water.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Oh, that's awesome!
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.